Marcus Sahaba Online Radio.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, respected listeners of Sirius FM as well as Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah. We welcome you to this program, Al-Fiqhu ala al-Madhaib al-Arba'ah, Jurisprudence according to the four schools of thought. The date today is the 12th of Safar, 1447, corresponding to the Gregorian calendar. That is the 7th of August, 2025. Today our topic is on Mahar. Let's welcome Mufti Abdul Qadir Hussain Sahib. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Barakallahu feekum wa zaid khan. Jazakallahu khairan.
Mufti Sahib, before we start, I know there's always some news Mufti Sahib wants to get off his chest. What's breaking news, Mufti Sahib?
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Nahmaduhu wa nusalli ala rasulihil kareem. Amma ba'd. All praise is due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher, and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings, and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Habibuna Mustafa Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. First news is, today is the 12th of Safar 1447, and in most countries in the world, it is the 13th of Safar, hence tonight by you, most countries will be the 14th of Safar, so it will be Laylatul Jumu'ah and Laylatul Badr, 14th night, the full moon. You must look at the moon and just marvel at the creation of Almighty Allah Jalla Wala. So Laylatul Jumu'ah, the night of Friday, Laylatul Badr, when the moon is shining in its glory and beauty, the radiance and effulgence emanating from it. So, فَتَبَارَكَ أَحْسَنُ الْخَالِقِينَ. That is what you should be saying, O Muslim, O Muslimah. Number two is this, today it is the 8th, it is the 7th rather, of August, 7th of August, and in South Africa, the 12th of Safar. So, the 30% tariffs of Trump, Trump's tariffs, are effective from today in South Africa and many other countries. And for India, very bad. For them today, 25%, and then from end of the month, 50%. Why are they buying oil from Russia? That is Trump, you see, the idiot, the fool, the pedophile and rapist that he is. And then the third one is, you see, when Allah wants to disgrace a person, Surah 22, Surah Hajj, verse 18, Almighty Allah Jalla Wala states, وَمَنْ يُهِنِ اللَّهُ فَمَا لَهُ مِنْ مُكْرِمٍ. Then whosoever Almighty Allah humiliates, locally, nationally, globally, internationally. So these people are internationally, you understand, disgraced, humiliated. فَمَا لَهُ مِنْ مُكْرِمٍ. So there's none to give him honor. So you take MBS, the Murtad bin Shaitan of Saudi Arabia, million, billion, trillion, zillion dollars he got, you see. The oil and revenue and all that, he says all his wealth. So cut a long story short, can he go to America? Can't go. Why? Because the Washington Post, the journalist Jamal Khashoggi, so that newspaper where the tabloid and the newspaper will tear him to pieces, you must remember that. You did this, where is the body of Jamal Khashoggi? We can't even find it. They use chemicals, and the whole body disintegrated, you see, to get rid of the evidence. But they committed the major, the premeditated murder. And the command came from him, from MBS. Oh, who can give a command like this? Number two, the New York Times yesterday, day before yesterday, whenever. So in this week, they released a photo of him, MBS, and Epstein all embracing with one another. So I'm asking you, who will you embrace? You will embrace a person you know very well. And in his Manhattan house, they found that photo, everything and also. And the New York Times yesterday, day for yesterday, released it. Now, New York Times is not some chewing gum newspaper and something. So these are one of the biggest and most famous newspapers in America, Washington Post and New York Times. So you see, that is why my argument goes with Sudeis and all these characters. You see that You all come there and tell us Wali Ahdi Yalameen and what khidmat is doing for Islam and Muslims and us and all that. But our point is a greater point, that you are now the custodian of the Haramain Sharifain. But do you behave like that? Look at how you behave. Quran says in Awliya'uhu illa al-muttaqun, then none are allowed to be the trustees and the directors of the Baytullah except the people who have taqwa. But can you call a person like this a person with taqwa when he commits every vice, every sin almost? You understand? Bikini beaches, cinemas, and music extravaganzas in Jeddah and in Riyadh and so forth. So all this speaks volumes. Then Trump today, he says all these Epstein files, I just, you must remember, are what? It's just all fabrications. It is just for political reasons and so forth. Because he knows his name is there. And nobody will believe that say they release it and his name is not there. Then the whole world will know that he and his cronies, they expunged it and they removed it and so forth. Now imagine you sitting in your palaces there in Saudi Arabia. You're sitting out there at your White House in Washington. So you're coming here. You must remember too, you know that place they call next to Hagerstown. You know, that is Camp David. It's near Hagerstown, 15 miles. Now I was in Hagerstown, Maryland. So from there to Camp David is what, 15 minutes plus minus, 20 minutes maximum. So anyway, so now you're sitting there and now you're thinking about it, that what does the world think about me? Then he'll send a tweet, I'm the greatest president. I did the greatest. He say, now you will see the billions flowing in into America. But all of them, it's all own goals. The whole United Flight. I you know, it's like how you got SAA and you got, you know, like for example, Lyft Airlines and like that, you know, or Flies FA and so forth. So the United Airlines, whole lot are grounded in America. I flew on that airline, I know. So United Airlines, nothing to shout about, hopeless airline if you ask me. I was very disappointed with their seats and all that. Anyway, so all grounded. Why? There's something wrong with their scales and so forth and so on. So therefore, we must remember that he's not scoring goals. He say, MAGA, make America great again. So he's scoring own goals most of the time. And therefore, in time to come, inshallah, before the law, America will fall, Israel will fall, and this Arab Tanpur dictators, like a, you must remember, you know, you have like a, so, you know, it's a building. So all of them just collapse one after the other. Ripple effect, you know. So you will find that that is what will happen, inshallah. So these Arab regimes also very, very soon, none of them got the army to fight the enemy. They got army to shoot their own people and kill their own people. That is the sad truth and the tragedy of the Muslim Ummah today. Allah have mercy on us.
Mufti Sahib, coming to the first question of Mahar, what is the definition of Mahar?
First of all, before we speak of definitions, so let us go to the definition of Nikah. Then we will understand. When Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu warda was Amirul Mu'mineen, and then they posed the question to him, and he's a linguist par excellence, a master of the Arabic language in prose and in poetry. You can just see from this one. It is the month of Muharram, and it is day in the Khaybar, where they're fighting the enemies, the Jutlas, in the 7th year of the Hijrah, and his title now becomes Fatih Khaybar. You see, even Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam the next day gave him the banner and the flag, and said that you are the person, يُحِبُّهُ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ وَيُحِبُّ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولَهُ. Allah and his Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam love him, and he loves Allah jalla wala and Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So when he had that sword in his hand and he's fighting, you know, so what did he say? Is hadith, authentic hadith, they mentioned in Muslim Sharif, أَنَا الَّذِي سَمَّتْنِ أُمَّنِي أُمِّي الْحَيْدَرَةِ أَنَا الَّذِي سَمَّتْنِ أُمِّي الْحَيْدَرَةِ. I am the one, my beloved mother Fatima binti Asad was the name. She gave me the name Haydar, Haydarah. I am the lion. I'm prepared to take you on. You see that? And took them on. Indeed, he did that. That the first person he sent to hell was their celebrated soldier, Mirhab. You see? Then that one fought. Nobody could smash the doors and all that. Qamus. Qaf, Mim, Waw, Swat. He smashed the door to pieces and smotherings. So that is Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anh. So when they asked him, Ma'adhan nikahu ya Amir al-Mu'mineen? What is nikahu Amir al-Mu'mineen? Sururu shahrin. 1 month's happiness. Yesterday I met one student there at Darul Zakaria, Maghrib there. So I asked him, where's your brother? I haven't seen him from the time he got married. He's still busy in sururu shuhurin, I said, you see. He's had happiness for many months and that he's gone into parda. He won't come out of the bedroom, you see that. Busy with his wife, daytime, lunchtime, nighttime, you see. Multiple sawab, you see that. Get busy with the zikr and zakar and everything, you must remember that. So all that, you see, so he had a good laugh, you know. Sururu shaharin, 1 month's happiness. وَلُزُومُ مَهَرٍ, you must pay the mahr. Just now we'll discuss what is mahr. And then, وَغُمُومُ دَهَرٍ, then the wadi for lifelong. Wadi of your son, wadi of your daughter, wadi of your wife, wadi of this one, that one. So you have to have that wadi, because now the family is your own kids and kin. And then, وَكُسُورُ سَهَرٍ, and your back it goes, and then bent. وَاكُوَرِيْوَنَ, in Mehman they say. And thereafter the fifth one, so that will be the fifth one, remember, وَنُزُولُ قَبْرٍ. Don't get so, so happy that you even forget that there will be one day that that person now, he has to die and then he has to be buried also. So the beauty of this definition, every phrase of Sayyidina Ali, it ended on a re, on a ra, سُرُورُ شَهَرٍ. وَلُزُومُ مَهَرٍ وَغُمُومُ دَهَرٍ وَكُسُورُ زَهَرٍ and وَنُزُولُ قَبْرٍ. So that is your definition of nikah. What is the definition of mahar? Mahar is a wealth that you, the husband, will give your wife with no strings attached and no conditions attached. Why? Because you are now giving her a certain amount which she demanded or requested or whatever you. And she said, yeah, I'll be happy with this amount if you give me and so forth. So she is the exclusive sole owner of that. What is happening in our Muslim countries, Arab countries, is totally haram, you must remember. The mother-in-law will say, give me the mara, look after it. But then she keeps it, this one cannot use it. Since when that is haram? Totally haram it is. Sometimes the husband will say that, what? Give me the mara, I'll keep it. But then he is busy making money out of that. But it doesn't even belong to him. His wife gave it to him, lil hifadha, not the tijara. You see that? Gave it to him just for protection purposes, safety purposes, not for to go and invest in business and so forth and so on. So all this is what you call abuse of power. You see that? Abuse of attorney. You know they say power of attorney. So abuse of attorney, you must remember that. So that is it. So what is the definition of mahar as you ask? So it is that what you give to the wife. Something that is halal in cash or kind. In lieu of the sacrifices she's going to make. She's going to leave her parents' home. She's going to leave the place of her birth most probably. She will be the one you must remember to make, to spend the remainder of her life with you. So is that not a big sacrifice? Therefore, a husband, give your wife, not only, you must remember, Islam says, not only on the occasion of nikah you give a mahar, now and then you give a mahar, meaning hadiyah. You see that? Tahadaw tahabu. Because your husband, wife, you 10 hours, 20 hours together, whatever the case might be, so then when you give gifts to one another, tahabu, it will generate mutual love. فَإِنَّ الْهَدِيَّةَ تُذْهِبُ الدَّغَائِنَ. And remember, when you give gifts, it removes this malice, rancor, hatred, all these things here. So that are the lessons we should be deriving from all this here.
Mufti Sahib, for the whores in Jannah, will I have to pay any mahar?
100%. You must remember the hadith is mentioned in Ibn Majah. مَنْ أَخْرَجَ الْأَذَى مِنَ الْمَسْجِدِ. Whosoever takes out the dirt and speck of dirt from the masjid, فَنَلَّهُ لَهُ بَيْتًا فِي الْجَنَّةِ. Then Allah will grant him a palace in Jannah. Palace in Jannah, you will have your damsels of Jannah there as well. But they will be the one, the first one, to see that this place is not 100% clean. You understood? So that is the plates and all that, and this here, and this see, like, you know. So all these things are not clean and what have you. So we and you, we have to keep our plates clean. We have to keep the masjid clean, all these things there. And hadith in Tabarani comes that when you clean the masjid, Allah's house, so that will be your mahar for the hoor and the beautiful damsels and women of Jannah. Hadith in Tabarani. So you see, so for everything we must know what is the dalil and where is the dalil. You see, where is the evidence as well. See.
Mufti Sahib, in today's age, how does Islam's mahar stand out amongst other groups and other religions?
Before we go to that, you must understand the wisdom of mahar. That I pay mahar, you paid mahar. You remember how much you paid, Mawzaid?
Che.
How much you paid?
1 kruger coin.
1 kruger coin. Value 10,000 rand, that time maybe.
Che, now it's gone up.
Che. No, but that time how much?
About 15,000-16,000.
Yeah. So very good you paid mahar, like that 15,000 we'll say. So it all depends, you see. And then it appreciates and so forth and so on. So now the point arises that we, the husband, you must remember, you must take into cognizance what the wife will be happy with. And remember, the wife has the right to say no to you. Why? Till you don't pay the mahar. But that doesn't mean you must start paying and giving that money. You must remember to salam haram purpose or haram place and all that. So obviously that is unacceptable. You must be very clear on all these issues as well. So now, we're speaking about the mahar. So now when we, who determines, there's a better question. Who determines the amount of mahar? She, the lady. She will say, yes, I will marry you, provided that you give me a kruger coin. You give me 2 kruger coins. Provided that you give me 50,000, 30,000, 20,000, you see nowadays, 100,000, whatever. If somebody says, how can it be so expensive? So the ayat gives the answer, Quran Kareem, Surah number 4, verses 20, 21, 22. So even if you gave your wife millions, 10 million, 20 million, after talaq, divorce and so forth, then you cannot demand even 1 cent from that estate and so forth. You see that? So we should know all these things there. Because there, you must remember, in these countries, you know, New Zealand, Australia, and all of the very strict, you must remember, on all these type of issues. You can't just take any sweet inside, you can't take chocolate inside, you can't take fruit inside. So it has to go through a very strict process, then they'll allow it inside. So we in Islam must know that we're giving what to the wife? We're giving her security. After 1 month, 2 months, the husband passes away. So what happens to this widow? You understood? She will inherit. But the inheritance can take long also sometimes. So this is one sense of security for her. Whether it's in cash or whether it's in kind. Therefore, the Hanafis and the Malikis say, you must pay something and give something that is tangible. You see that? You can't tell her, no, I'll teach you Surah Yasin, I'll teach you Surah Waqi'ah, I'll teach you this and so forth. So in a case like that, we will say that each one of us has now time. You see, we are alive and time is short. So you must remember that. So when time is short and so forth, so this is what we need to do, that, you know, to make the maximum amount of effort in minimum time, you know. So now for the wife, it is security. 1. 2. When a husband and wife, they enjoy one another. وَقَدْ أَفْضَى بَعْضُكُمْ إِلَىٰ بَعْضٍ Quran says. Quran makes ishara. It just uses subtle language. And the two of you were in one another's arms. The two of you, your bodies were touching already, you see, and so forth and so on. So remember that. So there was a lot of excitement and pleasure for the husband as well as for the wife. For the wife, it's normally in the starting very difficult if she's a virgin and so forth. But afterwards, then there's a lot of enjoyment. So now you enjoying yourself. So when one day we had a seminar, so one old Baji, 70 years old, nice white beard, he asked me, why must we men pay mahar? So I looked at him, I said, well, I'm going to give a long story answer. So I said, Baji, no pay, no play. You see? So that is a good answer also. So one is security for that lady. One is that you are going to deflower me now. You see that? So now when you deflower me, so then it's finished. That everybody knows I slept with you and I spent time with you. So now you have to give something to me. I made such a sacrifice. I handed my virginity over to you and so forth. So we should think of it like that. That in that way, we're not the kuffar culture. Every day she's sitting with a new boyfriend, every second day with a girlfriend and so forth and so on. So all that we don't accept like that. We say that we must find out what really happened in these cases here. So what will happen? We must go to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We must go to the Sahaba and so forth. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, honorable wives. You see that? So you will find that the mahar was 500 dirhams, plus minus. Nowadays, 30,000, 33,000, it fluctuates. Right? And if you see that Najashi, Negus, Ashama, radiallahu anhu, he was so fair and just. When the last group were going, you see, of Sahaba, they were going from Habasha straight to Medina Munawwara, Ja'far radiallahu anhu and him. And that was in the 70 of the Hijrah. Because Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he met him for Ja'far, he said, La adri, afrah bi kudumikum aw bi fathi Khaybar. I don't know which one brought greater joy to me. Our victory day in Khaybar against the Jutlas. Oh, you must remember that the two of you are back and so forth and so on. So remember that this is the lesson that we must learn as well. So that is that we must try and keep our daughter, our son-in-law, all that in the nearby area and not far, far. Then you keep on worrying, big problems and so forth. وَبَنِينَ شُهُودَ Quran says, you see. And the sons are all nearby, they're there. So something happens to father and so forth. So number one is security. Number two, she's giving over herself to you. So, oh, Habib, so treat her like gold, treat her like silver, treat her like diamonds, you see that? You can't be treating her as rubbish and so forth. Quran says, وَعَاشِرُوهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ Allah is interceding on behalf of the wives, all the wives of the world, Muslim, that you tell your husbands they must treat you with love and they must treat you with justice and respect and so forth and so on. So like that we should always remember that what is required, you must remember. So that is required from us, that the mahar. And you see Najashi, he saw now the last group going, Ja'far radiallahu, he sent so many gifts. And that same Najashi, he was the one who acted as the wakil on behalf of Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the nikah to Umme Habiba, Amir Muawiyah radiallahu anhu's sister, and Abu Sufyan radiallahu anhu's daughter. You see that? And now he said, they tell Nabi alayhi salatu salam, I convey salams, but make dua that what happens to me, that, you know, I become like a true Muslim and I remain on that, I pass away on Iman. And, you know, there was still like money left and what have you. So he said that give that you must, to him. You must remember that, you know, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam received his gifts and all that. And then when he passed away, so Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never forgot his ihsan. So the mahar for Umme Habiba was paid for by him, Najashi. You see? So we must know all these kind of things. Like I told you 100 times, I never paid mahar. So remember that my father gave me the money. You see? I didn't even have 1 cent in my pocket. I just walked to the masjid, Allah Malik. So my father, you got money? I said, no. Took out 40 rand, then 1 rand, so 41 rand. You see? So that is how. So they were just too happy to get their daughter married. So they didn't even discuss the mahar and whatever. So you say, finish now, whatever is the amount, you just pay, finish it now. So today you won't find girl that's ready for 40 rand or 41 rand. You'll get today, in this day and age, Mosaic. Maybe you go Cape Town, you'll get, you understand? But yeah, in ours, you won't just get like that. So the point we must understand is this, you must remember. Then Sayyidina Ali to Sayyidina Fatima. So out of respect for Sayyidina Fatima, we attribute it to her and we say Mahar-e Fatima, Mahar-e Fatimi, you understand? Otherwise, the same amount was given to the honorable wife of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam as well. So we should understand that as well.
Mufti Sahib, with regards to the four madhabs, what are the differences when it is calculated, when we calculate the mahar?
So Hanafis say that it must be understood that, you know, that like 10 dirhams, the hadith in Dharakutni, la mahara aqal min ashrati dirahim and all. So today it will be 700 rand, 800 rand, like that, you know. So that is will be the minimum in this. So that is Hanafi school. Then the Shafis and them, they say this hadith of Rubai Dinar. So Rubai Dinar means in one dirham you get, you must remember, 10 dirhams. So dinar is gold coin and dirham is silver coin. So in those days it would be 10, you must remember, dinar and equivalent to one dirham. You got it? So that is how it will work out. And the Hanafis say you must pay 10, that's minimum. So the brother or the uncle or the father can't take that money and say, I'm used it in it. And you know that it is her right. Nobody can take it away from her. So we must understand these issues properly. And then the Shafi'is and them, okay, to the Malikis we come, they say Rubai Dinar. So the hadith mentioned Rubai Dinar. So that is about 1/3 of the Hanafis. So let's say Hanafis say 800 rand, just to make it easy. So they will say that 1/3, or say 900 rand. So they will say 300 rand. You see that? So the Malikis, how you work it out? You just say plus minus 1/3 of what the Hanafis say. You got, both parties got their dalils. Then the Hanbalis and the Shafis come and they say, no, you don't have to give money or goods or whatever, you understand, jewelry or coins or gold or nothing. So they say, okay, then what must you do? They allow services. They say it's not necessary must be wealth. They allow services also. So therefore, you will find that that part of the world that, you know, there's that part of the world, what happens is this, that things are very cheap. Because why? The Hanbalis and the Shafi'is say that you can get married and tell her, I'll read Quran Sharif for you. I will teach you Surah Yasin. I will teach you Surah Tabarak. I will teach you the Surah. She says, fine, you do that, and then it's acceptable to me and so forth. But if you don't pay daytime, then remember that the woman got the right of mamnu'ud dukhul also. As long as the husband don't pay the mahar in detail, you know. So in total meaning. So then that he, this person here now, this, you know, when the husband don't pay the mahar, then she got the right to say mamnu'ud dukhul. That you can't enter me as because you haven't paid me the total amount, the entire amount. That is the justice system of Islam. Story time, when we were in Karachi, especially Newtown Madrasa. The Madrasa was started by Hazrat Allama Sheikh Yusuf bin Nuri, Rahimahullah, in 1954. So now it's just over 50 years, right? And so 54, so on how many, 70 years, 75 years, plus minus. So anyway, so 54 it started. So then it became very famous and all that. And because a lot of foreigners there, when I was there, we were over 100 foreigners, remember that. So all these things happened. Now the point I want to make is that we see that these people now, they perform nikah. So who is to come perform the nikah day in Newtown Madrasa? Madrasa Arabiya Islamiya, Hazrat Allama bin Nuri. So he sometime performed nikah, but most of the time it was Mona Ihtishamul Thanvi. That he used to come, he passed away on a Friday. Hazrat bin Nuri passed away in 77. And Hazrat Mufti Shafi Sahib in 76. Mufti Mahmud passed away in 80. And Maulana Ihtishamul Haq Thanvi, Rahmatullah Ali, for all of them, he also passed away in 80. You see? So like that it was. So he was the orator of Pakistan. So in a question, he must remember that he had to now answer that what about these people that, you know, they read Quran and do this and so forth and so on for, you know, for the deceased or something, or before Quran and all that, before the marriage and so forth. Is this sunnah? So it's not sunnah that before marriage you make khatam al-Quran or after marriage you do that. But we'll say it's permissible. But you can't say it is sunnah. So we must be clear on that as well. So the difference will be the Shafi'is and the Hanbali say, you can use khidmat. Khidmat, she say, I'll cook for you every Friday akni. She say, I'll cook for you every Friday biryani. And he accepted. He said, fine, I accept it. She and she told him, okay, I accept you, but you must teach me Surah Yasin. You must teach me Surah Dukhan. You must teach me Surah Alif Lam Mim Sajda. You must teach me Tabarak Alladhi Surah Mulk. So when you teach me that, then I will be the one that you know, that I'll be very happy now. He's teaching me that. So she made Iskatul Hukuk. She forfeited the rights to take wealth, you know, monetary wealth and physical wealth and so forth. So she went and said that, no, fine if you teach me the surah or something. So that also is permissible because so many ahadith like that. That sahabi said, I'm ready. Nabi alayhi salam asked him, what you got? He said, I got basically nothing. So then Nabi alayhi salam said, this is karamatan and ijazan in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So you must remember that that is karamat for the people and for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Mujiza, miracle. So Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made dua for them. And that's how they started their lives and so forth. You must remember that. They hardly possessed much and so forth. But they said, okay, I will teach you the surah and that surah and so forth. And that it carries on like that. But Hanafis and Malikis say there must be some mal involved. So that is the academic discussion between the four schools of thought. So that is where we stand today, remember that.
Mufti Sahib, also here the question of muta comes in and temporary marriages. Mufti Sahib, can you please clarify this for the
Ummah? Remember, muta is very easy to tangle them up. Ask any person of any faith. Listen to my words carefully. Ask any person of any faith, will you be ready to give your daughter to ABC person for 1 hour? And that 1 hour, that guy will pay your daughter something. You don't need witnesses. You don't need the girl's father's permission. You don't need, you must remember, to announce it, nothing. So why they do this? So the Shias, they do that, you must remember. And they consider this to be a big, big ibadat. So all these things carry on in today's world. And you must remember that you see all the vices going on. So therefore we say that there must be the father's permission, what we discussed already. So now let's go now to muta. So Khomeini writes in his book, Tawdihul Masail, that you can make muta for 1 hour. So when I had a debate with that Husseini live on CII, I said, leave all the discussions. Are you prepared to give your daughter for muta? He said, yes, I did it already. I said, Subhanallah, how you did it? So he was sitting that side and I was sitting this side. And then, you know, fair, I speak 5 minutes, he speak 5 minutes later. So I had thousands of people listening, you see. So he said that every night I tell my daughter, you must not go into full relationship with him because we still don't know much about his background and so forth and so on. And obviously they have to, you know, like contact their peers up or whoever they have confidence in and so forth and discuss with him. So that is how they come to this type of conclusions, you must remember, that this guy is good, this guy is bad and all that. Sometimes it works out right, sometimes it's wrong. Because you must remember, al-mustasharu mu'tamanun, the people with who you make mashura should be honest people, people of integrity, not people who got hidden agenda and ulterior motives and so forth and so on. So like that it works out. So the point we are making, muta is not a marriage. If you open our Sheikh Sabuni's book, you understand, on muta, the first statement he makes, وَقَالَ الْإِمَامُ Ja'far Sadiq رَحِمَهُ اللَّهُ Wallah, in al-mut'a, who was zina. You must remember words like that. That mut'a is 100% zina, fornication and adultery. You see that? So now that is your so-called imam. Imam Ja'far Sadiq is your sixth imam. You see that? You have Imam Ali, Imam Hassan, Imam Hussein. Then Imam, you understand, Imam Hassan, you must remember. Then you have Imam Hussein. Thereafter you have now, You must remember that there's, you know, freedom for them because the Abbasid dynasty is finished and all these rules they feel are also finished. So now what happens is this, that these people here, that in Mut'a, they just get married, have a good time, and then they go away. Wala idda, wala miras, wala nafaqah. So how can that be? It's 100% prostitution. So you must remember this kind of thing. No Shia can deny that. Because we got it in black and white from them. And when I went to Iran, wallahi, I saw that book there also being displayed. You see that? Tawdihul Masail lil Imam al-Khumeini. You see? So therefore, we say Khomeini died a pakka kafir, and those who follow him and are sympathetic to him, they also, if they don't make tawbah, they will die kufar. Kufar, because he came as an caricature to destroy Islam from within. So he was brought in there by the French. You must remember that all the time they say he was hiding there and so forth and so on. So now he is back, you must remember, on his own soil, like you see. So therefore, he feels he can do whatever he wants to. So in a case like this, what we must say, that muta is totally haram, and it is prostitution, and it is zina, and nowhere will it be ever permissible in Islam. And only on that point, all these sympathizers should know that how can we ever follow? See, one alim made two good statements. He said there's no religion in the world that allowed lying. There's no religion in the world that allowed fornication, adultery. But there's kuffar, Shias, they allowed it. So to speak lies, they said taqiyya, holy hypocrisy. You see, that is now not our words. Whose words are that, Maulana Zaid? That is our Sheikh's words. You know Sheikh? Sheikh who? So Hazrat Maulana Mufti, so you must remember that, you know, it is the Mufti Desai. So he writes all these kind of words also. So he says that these people are all out of the fold of Islam and wajibul qatl and so forth and so on. But the people today, you get two types. Some love it when he speaks the truth, and some people, they hate it because the truth is not palatable for them. So the point I'm making here is this, that muta is direct prostitution. You're paying the lady for her services. You see that? And therefore, you know, Quran says, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِفُرُوجِهِمْ حَافِظُونَ إِلَّا عَلَىٰ أَزْوَاجِهِمْ أَوْمَا مَلَكَتْ إِيمَانُهُمْ فَإِنَّهُ غَيْرُ مَلُومِينَ So it shows that to remain chaste in Islam, you can only remain chaste with your spouse, your wife or your husband, and with your, you must remember that, you know, that pureness, if you have war and you take over the enemy, these females and all that, like the Israelis, so you go on the counter offensive and so forth, you defeat them, so their men will be taken, they can be killed or incarcerated, and their women, so same thing to them also. So that is the Islamic law, and that is in cases like this. So for both people, if it is adultery, then it is the death penalty. If it is fornication, they're not married, then 100 lashes. So that is how Islam introduced these punishments as a deterrent, we must remember that, for these people here. Not that something that people, you must remember, just they carry on and they carry on, you know, doing and say is ibadat and so forth, Allah forbid. So that is what the Shias are promoting, you know. So 100% zina it is.
Mufti Sahib, when you speak of the mahar Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam paid, are there any stipulated amounts mentioned in the ahadith?
Yes, I just answered it now. I said all the wives of Nabi alayhi salam were 500 dirhams. So you must remember, and Sayyidina Ali also was 500 dirhams. So I answered it already, and I said that, so the amount now to for the rank and status of Hazrat Fatima, Fatima to Sayyidah to Nisa'i Ahlul Jannah. So the ulama at that time, they said that, so you must remember that this is the minimum amount you must pay, and that money must go to you, the bride, and so forth, and not to your somebody else, you must remember, your friends or whatever. So in a case like that, so that the 500 dirhams today we know is 12,000-13,000 rand, so that is what we will encourage the people to pay, provided that they can afford it.
And Mufti Sahib, the desired amount, is it, Mahar-e-Fatimi is the desired amount, but thereafter, what's the minimum amount?
The minimum we discussed also now. So the Hanafi say you must remember 10 dirhams, you say 700 then. And according to the Maliki is 200 then, 250 then. And Shafi'is and Hanbali is no minimum. They say you can give cash, you can give services, all that. So there's no stipulated minimum mahar.
Mufti Sahib, if a person said that I'm going to give you a Kruger coin, and from that Kruger coin, the wife, she must use a stipulated amount to purchase jewelry from that amount. Does the wife have to comply with this, or does she have a choice?
Remember, if the husband gave a Kruger coin and so forth, and then with that he attaches conditions, the Kruger coin will belong to the wife and all the conditions will fall away. Because it's a hadiyah, it's a gift. And when you give gifts, you can't make conditions. The mawhub lahu, the giftee, the recipient will receive it, and the wahib will be now, it won't be his. And even if you made conditions, all that conditions will be null and void, will fall away. So you can't make all these kind of conditions. You should be very, very clear on that.
Mufti Sahib, a question here. It's not related to mahar, but it's marriage-related questions. If a husband says, I do not want this baby when his wife is pregnant, he says, I'm not prepared to get another child. Please advise.
So Allah alone knows how many, you understand, children they got, because it seems that they got children. And they say, no, they're not ready to have another child. See, yesterday, I didn't know. So because tomorrow we're going springs. So I phoned my brother's grandson, Maulana Mahmood. You see that? So now he's Maulana Ahmad Siddat's son, you see. So then the news came that now his wife gave birth. How she gave birth? She gave birth at home. No all those doctors and hospital and clinic and all. In this day and this age, she's showing us. I'm so proud, so happy for her and for Maulana Mahmood that they showed the world that we can do it. And inshallah, with Allah's help, everything become normal. She gave normal birth, no cesarean section or nothing.
Amen.
But you see, they drum it in our head. You must go to the hospital. You must go to the clinic. You must let a male doctor, you understand, and check you up and inspect you and this and that. And not one time, every 2 months you must go and check. Then he will tell you this, he'll tell you that. Half the time they tell you all upside down things also. So cut long story short, so you must remember as parents and so forth, the training of the children, all that is your duty and so forth. And, you know, when it comes to mahar, then you must discuss with them and so forth. This is the proposal, this is the mahar and so forth. So in my family, you must remember, the one person said one Kruger coin. So I jokingly said, in our family, we don't accept one Kruger coin. We want two Kruger coin. He paid two Kruger coin, you see. So like that, you must remember, you can negotiate it also. But you can't make conditions, you must remember that. All that conditions will fall away.
Mufti Sahib, what's the highest mahar a person has paid in your lifetime that you've experienced?
The nikahs that I performed, you must remember, is 186,500. So as last year, here in that Kurtuba. And Kurtuba, they don't come out there. You saw how they make nikah in Kurtuba.
No.
But they don't make nikah like how with a book and it. They got their own. You understand? All fancy, fancy, 3 pages they give you. One is that where the names are, and one is that other thing, you understand, who are the, like that, they got 3 different. But very smart, I must tell you there. When I read that and I saw all the notes and all that, I thought I'm, you know, my optical illusion. I thought my eyes are deceiving me and so forth. Then I asked him, is this right, this amount? He said, yes. I said, very good. Before that was 135,000, but bichara, that guy, you know, his nikah broke also, you see. So, because now you see people also, when he got married, he went to his friend and they say, give me your Ferrari and all that, you know, so I want to come with that. So, man samma Allah bihi. When we want to show off, then Allah Ta'ala disgraces us. That's a typical example. Give me the Ferrari, give me this car, that car. And, you know, when I got married, I went with the van. The Mercedes was in front. My uncle said to me, I said, just leave it. We go with the van, what difference will it make to me? It's not going to make any difference. You understand? We have to go masjid, isn't it so? So whether you're going to Mercedes, you're going to van, what is the difference? No difference. So you must remember. So that is what we must learn, you know. People today, they want to buy for the nikah a Bentley, and they want to buy a Ferrari, and buy a Rolls Royce, and a Cadillac, and you know, all this kind. portion, whatever you. So then you see the marriage also don't last. So 135 was before. Now the current record for me is 186,000, say. 186,000. So if next guy come, maybe 200,000. I don't get anything. I never charge anybody for nikah in my life. One, two time I had to perform nikah here upstairs. So you understood? I had to pay the mahar. What you talking? How can that happen now, Zahid? More Zahid. You understand how it will happen? So now there's a guy, he wants to embrace Islam. So I ask him that, who's this? He say, my girlfriend. So I say, no, she also has to become Muslim. So now you must remember, we make him Muslim, we make her Muslimah. Now we perform the nikah. So before performing nikah, I say, you got 600 rand, 500 rand for mahar. He'll say, yeah, I got 200 rand. So 200 rand will chal jayega, it will be all right, according to the Malikis and the Shafis, Hanbalis. But I told you that usul, in life, al-khuruj and al-khilaf. You must come out of the ikhtilaf, you see. So in a case like that, you must remember, now I felt sorry also, this mutta, I don't know when I'll meet you again and so forth. So then I told him, okay, then never mind, I'll make you Muslim, I perform your nikah and I'll give you a mahar. But you must enjoy your wife, not I'm to come there. You understood? So sometimes we end up paying the mahar also, Maulana. You must remember these kind of things.
Chief Mufti Sahib, is the last question. What should the imams do when they're performing nikahs? Should they take the mahar amount or keep it with them, or at least view it? Or how should this work?
So you must remember, you don't have to view it or anything. So the girl normally doesn't come. You understand? The lady, the bride, that who's getting married, she appoint a wakil. So you just allow, you ask the wakil, understood, that have you received the mahar? You see that? So that like 186,000, so I asked them, where's the money? So they said, no, it's jewelry, they gave it already. I said, it's all right, you see? Sometimes I just make a joke, like you see. So like that one day I had to perform nikah, that mota say, that is this thing. He got whole one bar of gold. I said, don't tell us the value, you see? Because people then tomorrow, you just hear you kidnapped and you just happened and hijacked and just, you see that Goda person, he also no news about him. And you must, so remember that it is that, you know, and that see that guy also, he's kidnapped and so forth and so on. So we must be very careful. So you must rather say, this morning we had a question, is it necessary to disclose the amount of the mahar to the witnesses? I say, not necessary. So you must just say, Mattafaqa alayhi zawjan, or whatever the two parties agreed on, so they have agreed on that. So whether it is 100,000, 200,000, 50 rand, 20 rand, whatever it is, so you say, Mattafaqa alayhi zawjan. You see that? So that is sufficient and so forth, there's no problem with that. So you don't have to see it there. You just say that, you know, that wakil, he's the one representative. Have you got the mahar? If they're still by the groom, he must give it to the wakil. So qabza of the wakil is qabza of the muwakil. You got a usul. So you must remember, if I gave your son the change, because you sent him, so he went and busted it up there, buy sweets, do this, buy balloon chocolate. So you got very upset, for example. So don't blame me. You must blame him. You appointed him as your wakil. You see that? So like that, we should remember that.
Jazakumullah khairan to Mufti Sahib and to all our listeners. Next, inshallah, we'll go for the news with Brother Suleiman Yasop. From us and the team, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Marcus Sahaba Online Radio.
Empowering the Ummah.